Memphis going to make it 10 in a row. Never done it in franchise history. I'm on fire. I got to get it. Keep my mind on my business. I'm going to show you how I'm living. He has played with so much energy. All Steph's done is have a triple-double. If they only switch it up, I'm on fire. I got to get it. Keep my mind on my business. I'm going to show you how I'm living. The Grizz are going to win 10 in a row.
10 of them things. Y'all playing with us, man.
He's Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We get a people.
What
they want.
What a game last night between the Golden State Warriors and the hottest team in the NBA. The Memphis Grizzlies had 9 straight wins going into it. How many do they have now, Mr. Rose?
10.
Why? Because they beat the Warriors, and Ja Morant had himself a great night, finished them off at the end. What did you think about this performance? Statement win.
I want to compliment Ja Morant for improving his three-point shot. But I also want everybody else to understand something. This isn't a one-man team.
No.
This run started. This win streak happened initially, and Ja wasn't even in the lineup. So I want to make sure I acknowledge their head coach, Taylor Jenkins. You're going to hear a lot of people talk about their team. If you want to win a water cooler bet, ask them to name the Memphis Grizzlies coach.
And if they say Taylor Jenkins, ask him if he's white.
And so, like yesterday, like Tyus Jones from Duke made a big three late. Brandon Clark was given effort and tenacity. Jaren Jackson Jr., last year, they made the playoffs when he was hobbled.
Yep.
Now he gets a new deal and he returns. And the thing that they do is kind of like the Miami Heat. They want to be disliked. They want to be physical. And normally you don't get that on a night-to-night basis. It's kind of like when you go play rec ball, right? At the beginning of the game, it's kind of free-flowing. You kind of just, you know, if you make a shot, hey, good shot, whatever, whatever. Just keep it moving. But see, they contest everything. So they like lightweight picking you up 75 feet, shadowing, denying on the wing, fronting the post. Like little effort stuff that all of a sudden, boom, they get a deflection, they go on the other way. That's why they amongst the league leaders in transition points. That's why Ja's amongst the league leaders in scoring in the restricted area. And so that's what I appreciate their team. They go into a matchup, and it seems like they don't mind making the opponent dislike them.
Yeah.
Draymond Green wasn't playing.
That was huge.
Which is obviously huge for the Golden State Warriors. But it's still a statement game for the Memphis Grizzlies, who beat the Golden State Warriors last year when Steph Curry was playing the way he's playing this year for that playing spot.
And without Draymond Green, you could see that the Warriors' offense just wasn't clicking the way it normally does. They had a ton of turnovers. The Grizzlies got a lot of points off of those turnovers. And Steph had his triple-double. You know, it looks great in the box score, but when you watch the game, it's like, it was a nice 27-10-10, but like, he didn't shoot the way we normally see him shoot. A lot of that is because Draymond's not there to set him up.
So, since December 1st, shout to our guy Kurt Goldsberry, the Memphis Grizzlies have proven that they're a legitimate Western Conference contender. I'm not ready, and I'm going to say this out loud, to put them on the level of Golden State, of Phoenix, or Utah just yet.
Look at those numbers.
Because you propel that in the playoffs. But all of those stats are effort, net rating, defensive rating, rebounding, fast break, points in the paint.
Second chance percentage.
That's all effort. So you know why we needed to put that up there like this? This is what I love about the game of basketball that changed my life so very much. At the end of the game, when you get a freaking stat sheet, ain't none of that on there.
No. Points, rebounds, assists, turnovers.
Ain't none of that on there.
No.
That's what I like about Memphis.
And I know one thing you like is this attitude. You know what I mean? And Ja Morant had a chance to sort of exemplify this attitude at the end of the game with a certain incident with a fan, and he spoke about it after the game. Let's listen to the back and forth between him and the reporter.
You go into the stands, and there's a little kid wearing a Warriors jersey.
Disrespectful with that jersey on.
He was say that again?
He was disrespectful.
With the jersey on. No mercy for the little kid.
Nah. We in Memphis. It looked like he wanted to cheer, but he had that jersey on. I apologize to him, but in that moment, bro, take the jersey off and then back me up.
I love that so very much, Jacoby. And like, this is why when Ja first got into the league, I was already a major fan. I'm glad that casuals have now picked up on the fact that he's extremely talented. But this is a mentality that has nothing to do with the stat sheet, right? I've always felt if I'm kissing up to you, I can't beat you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And the one thing that I've seen happen since LeBron became the best player in the league, I feel like he sunned everybody else. That's why he don't have no rivals. And so Ja looks at Steph Curry like, if I bow down to him and them, I can't beat him. And let me tell you what's going to happen with that situation with the fan in the jersey. I guarantee you that fan is going to get a Ja Morant jersey from the team or Ja.
Mm-hmm.
And now everybody that comes to a Memphis Grizzlies game, they're going to be on notice. You come with our home team jersey on. So, see, that sends a message. I guarantee you that's going to plant a seed that continues to foster itself in Memphis.
Well, there's been a lot of discussion about a Ben Simmons trade for the 76ers.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been rumors and reports. And the latest is a little rumbling rumor. Shout out to our guy, Marcus Spears, who said that they're potentially trying to package Tobias Harris and Ben Simmons together. Now, when I heard that, I was like, wait a second. Let me look up their contracts. Let me just see what a team would be taking on if they were to make this trade. And you see that Ben Simmons has about 3 or 4 years left, 2 or 3 years left for Tobias Harris. So whoever takes on these two contracts would be taking on about $200 million in about 3 or 4 years.
So never say never. However, I'll say this. There will not be one team inheriting both of those players at the same time. That's not happening.
No.
That ain't happening. Shout to my guy, Mark J. Spears. That ain't happening, OG. And I know why that, however, now becomes the report. Here's why. We need 13. Mm-hmm. Let me say that out loud. We need a 13. So what that means is we know some teams that really like Tobias Harris. So now let's put him out there and see if that can now be the facilitator of actually getting the Ben deal done. But here's the problem if you're Philly. This season has already gotten sabotaged. And the opponents ain't in the business of trying to help you out anymore. Like, didn't you tell me they won 7 straight? And Joel Embiid has scored 30-plus in each of those games or something like that?
Yeah, 6 straight, and Joel Embiid had 30-plus and 7.
You know who else knows that? The other teams in the league. And you know what they ain't trying to do? Help the number one seed from last year, add to what Joel Embiid is doing this year, and now propel them to be a contender. So that's another thing that's stopping the deal from getting done. Because why would another team be so willing to help them when this season is going to be a wash for them?
Jalen, whenever we mention Ben Simmons' trade, there's one name that you always mention that baffles me.
James Harden?
Yes. How do you, explain to me, give me the roadmap of how he ends up involved in this.
So here's why. James Harden and Kyrie Irving, for those who like ain't paying attention to the fine print in the deals, they ain't signed long term.
Kyrie, I think, is.
No, he's not. No, he is not. And James Harden got a player option after this year, which means there could be a scenario where the Nets get bounced in the first, second, or the conference finals, and James Harden walks. And if you Daryl Morey, you got his phone number. Y'all went Houston together. He won MVP.
Mm-hmm.
So he's taking your call. You see what I mean? And until he signs, you have to be Daryl Morey thinking, I know all of these other deals look good, but man, if I could get James Harden, that'd be a game changer. I mean, so you got to wait.
Like, I love CJ McCollum and Robert Covington for Ben Simmons, but if James Harden for Ben Simmons in a sign-and-trade situation is possible,
you got to wait.
Got to wait that one out.
You got to wait it out. Well, and that's what I believe is going to happen.
We have a little bit of news, not surprising news from the New York metropolitan area. Mm-hmm. Joe Judge is no longer the head coach of the Giants.
Yep.
After the GM had recently resigned.
Yep.
Not surprising, but not surprised. He does have a few more years on his deal, so they'll be paying him for that.
He's getting them checks.
What do you think happens next for this team? It's just having so much trouble the last 10 years.
I never root for anybody to lose their job, but he was a terrible hire, terrible coach. And the Giants, I believe, have lost 10 straight games in 5 straight seasons. And not even the Lions have done that.
Yeah.
Let me just say that again.
Ugh.
The Giants have lost 10 straight games in 5 straight seasons. My hometown Detroit Lions haven't even done that. You know what I mean? So you gotta change clothes and go.
He didn't help himself with his QB sneak, dog. Look at the formation they're in.
Hey, man,
from their
own
4-yard line.
Hey, dog.
Like, the players need to mutiny at that point. When the call comes in, when
suicide.
When the quarterback is like this and he gets the QB sneak call, like, he just needs to mutiny at that point and just call something else in the huddle.
Well, but also, like, there are certain pivotal points that happen to make things obvious. And that's the decision, I believe. When he makes that one, that's when everybody else sits back and, like, you know what? He ain't the guy.
They're not on the half-yard line, Jalen.
Correct.
They're on, like, the 4.
But, Jacoby, here's the thing. And I want to get on Giants ownership right here. So let me get this right. Gettleman, the GM, quote-unquote, retires.
Resigns, I believe.
Resigns. Yeah. Whatever you call it. So you think you're going to have Joe Judge be the coach, and you're going to hire a new GM? Oh, my goodness. Newsflash. You know what the general manager of a president wants to do? Actually hire the coach.
Bring in their own head coach, it's not like you're inheriting, like, a legend who's got to – he's a guy
who's
10-23.
Correct.
He's 10-23, and if you're the new GM, you're going to hand me a 10-23 coach who the fan base is already turned on?
Well, it's two things you don't want to inherit. You don't want to inherit Judge or Jones. A different J&J. Because Daniel Jones, you remember when he was Danny Dimes? Are you old enough to remember that nickname for him?
They turned in the dime and got like 5 pennies.
Gotcha. Because he ain't the guy either. And the one thing about the GM that stepped down, I believe my guy Saquon Barkley had 15 touchdowns his first year. And it's had 12 since. And it seems like every offseason they're going to get a former Lions wide receiver.
Golden Tate, has been
Golladay.
Lineup. But Saquon was available for the past like 6 or 7 weeks, and I didn't see any break long runs or 100-yard rushes. It's been a complete mess there. Hopefully the next person in, Brian Flores, can clean it up. Jalen, be careful, because it is time for the Don't Get Fired topic of the day. Be careful. Very careful.
And now, the Don't Get Fired topic of the day.
Going to an NHL game is one of my favorite things.
Kodak!
Kodak Black went to an NHL game yesterday. Kodak.
But here's the problem. The footage that I see of him online ain't with her.
Yes, it is. No,
is that her?
Yes.
Good for them. Wait,
what footage did you see online? You know what? Don't answer that. Don't answer that question. Go to break before we get fired. Go to break. Just go to break.
And man, spend $300, dog.
To you live from the Seaport here in New York City and brought to you by Chase. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen.
What up, though?
A lot of people talking about the Cowboys and Super Bowl potential, and one of those people talking about it is Cowboys owner Jerry Jones.
Is he?
You'll never believe this.
Really?
He had something to say to the media.
Oh.
Let's see what.
Another J&J.
J&J had to say.
Jerry, how do you define success once you make the play? Is it title or bust for you?
Oh, unquestionably. No in between.
Super Bowl or bust, Jerry Jones says. Is he going to be happy at the end of the year?
Well, he must play a lot of cards and bust a lot, because they ain't won a championship in like 30 years. I was in college.
I'm talking about playoff wins. I was like, right. They got like 7 playoff wins in the last 3 decades.
But I got some hope for the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, okay.
You ready for this? I think their path to a Super Bowl this year is as wide open and legitimate of an expectation as I remember recently.
They got to beat the 49ers.
They legitimately on the offensive side.
Mm-hmm.
You got a franchise quarterback. You got two good running backs in Zeke and Pollard. You got amazing wide receivers and Lamb and Cooper and Schultz, who's developed as a tight end. Like, they got weapons. But then on the defensive side, you got two defensive player of the year candidates.
Mm-hmm.
And Parsons and Diggs, two of them.
Got Gregory and Lawrence and Parsons all on the line back together for, I mean, they've played together for about the last 3 weeks.
And you can't win unless clearly you beat the opponent. So let's think about who the contenders in the NFC are. The Bucs don't have AB, but I still feel like they're the favorite, the defending champion. Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, the Rams, the Cardinals, a long shot, but I don't think they're going to be in there without D-Hop. So to me, this is their best opportunity recently, in particular since they drafted Dak, to have a pathway that's paved for them that legitimately looks like if they play up to their potential, they should be in the Super Bowl.
Jalen, right here in New York, there's some controversy.
Love that shirt, sir.
Julius Randle did the thumbs down. Not to the fans, but kind of to the fans, the way that the Mets did last year, and he was forced to address it. And let's just listen to how Mr. Randle addressed it.
The relationship with the fans right now, is it something that you hope to mend, or where do you want this to go right now?
I've already addressed it.
That's on the management to talk to you and all about it.
I've already addressed it.
Julius, my brother, fellow JR, don't apologize to them and don't take the bait. And I said this when it first happened. I believe you used the wrong finger for them.
No, Jalen, I disagree with all of this.
Come on, all you gotta just say is these are the fans. These are the fans.
So let's talk about this East Coaster.
Okay, come on. What percentage of the New York Knicks fans do you think turned on Julius Randle this year? There's a very vocal minority that he's putting his thumbs down towards. When they say, do you need to mend the relationship with the fans? You can say, I don't need to mend the relationship with the fans because the fans love me and I love the fans. There are a few outliers that are rude, and that's who I was putting my thumbs down to, but I love the city of New York, I love Knicks fans, and I plan to play the rest of my career here and win a championship.
I gotta tell everybody that's watching this show something. A large percentage of multimedia personalities are from the East Coast, in particular from New York. Why? It's the largest media market. And as somebody that played for this team and played against this team, sometimes they have an unrealistic expectation of what the players actually owe them. And Julius Randle is the reigning most improved player, and they were the fourth seed last year. When I take you to a Pistons game, we ain't gonna boo the team. We don't boo our team, dog. I take you to a Lions game. We don't boo them. So this idea that Julius Randle is struggling in a game and misses a couple of shots, and you're gonna boo your guy, what that really tells me is this. I understand that Julius Randle isn't the best player on a championship team. I know that. But the effort that these Knicks have exhibited under Tom Thibodeau, they are allowed to deal with peaks and valleys and not have to fight their home crowd. When you came to work today, did somebody boo you?
But okay, a couple things. I don't go to work in front of 18,000 people. Probably go to work in front of much more, but they can't boo because they're not in this room right now. But Jalen, let me say something.
You used the wrong finger, Julius.
You're not addressing what I said is,
oh, yes,
this
sir.
Is a very small minority of Knicks fans.
Okay.
It's not like the Knicks fans have turned on Julius Randle. There are a vocal minority that is now being lumped in with every other Knicks fan, and now it's starting an adversarial relationship. He didn't handle this right. Something else besides, I already addressed it.
I got an important question for you. You go to Knicks games, you represent New York and Massachusetts to the fullest, but I have to ask you a question. So, these same New York Knicks fans, do you think they have unrealistic expectations of this year's team?
Absolutely, and I said that before the season. I said that before they even game one. I was like, there was an aberration last year, not just for the Knicks as a team, but also earmuffs, Julius, for Julius Randle.
And he wasn't somebody booing, but like, if I look down at my phone, if I text Tracy Morgan right now,
mm-hmm.
And I'd be like, Knicks getting bounced in the first round. He like, Knicks about to win it all this year.
Well, here's the problem.
That's the disconnect.
It's too early in the afternoon. He won't text you back. He's sleeping until like 6 p.m. He was out late last night. He's going to hit you back. He's going to hit you back at like 7 p.m. after he had breakfast.
Last OG. That's my guy.
There is so much more for us to discuss and argue about right after this. Stay tuned. You are watching.
I got to bring my gold chains back out.
Our 10-year anniversary. Doubleheader tonight on ESPN starting at 7 with Jalen Rose and the Countdown crew. And then at 7:30, you get the Mavs against the Knicks in the Garden. And then at 10 o'clock, huge Eastern Conference showdown between the Brooklyn Nets and the Chicago Bulls. Don't miss those games on ESPN tonight. It is time for one of our signature segments. It is time for Soft Move or Boss Move. Montrezl Harrell returned to the lineup for the Washington Wizards, and he did so with a mask on that says, I'm back.
I love it. Definitely a boss move. Original. It took thought.
Mm-hmm.
It took planning.
Technology.
And it was accurate.
I hope you can see.
Anytime something speaks for you, like your fit should, it's a boss move.
It's a boss move, I have to admit. But the next one, not a boss move. Kyle Kuzma showed up looking like the Gimp from Pulp Fiction mixed with a scuba diver.
I see you, nephew.
Like I know you love Kyle Kuzma, but sometimes he plays well on the court, but the fits aren't hitting for me.
I'll just tell you this. He got muscles.
Soft move.
So that's a boss move.
Soft move.
Kelly Oubre wore something similar last night, too. I love it.
Huge game tonight between the Nets and the Bulls in Chicago. Who do you have winning this one?
I got the Bulls. The Nets have struggled recently. The Bulls have ascended. DeMar DeRozan has been outstanding this year. The Bulls' defense has been terrific, on ball in particular. So I feel like the Bulls, on their home floor, take down the Nets with Kyrie Irving.
You can see that in the Mavs-Knicks on ESPN. And at 7 o'clock, Jalen Rose and the Countdown crew looking fresh with a fresh cut. And we'll be back tomorrow, ESPN 2, at 4 p.m.
Thank you. You are far too kind.
Jalen.
What up, though?
We always say we get the people they want. Part of the podcast exclusive content for our podcast listeners. There's something that happened at halftime. Washington Wizards game that I need to discuss with you. Montrezl Harrell showed up wearing a mask saying, I'm back. His first game back in quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
So you wouldn't expect in his first game back that he would have a scuffle in the locker room at halftime with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Mr. Rose.
Yes, sir.
Take us behind the curtain.
I will.
What happens in the locker room at halftime when there's disagreements?
So the one thing about doing this job that my fellow NBA colleagues, coaches, agents, managers, as a player now who transitions into multimedia, when you see me speak, I'm really only saying a fraction of what I actually know. Let me repeat that. When you see me speak about a player, it's because I'm saying a fraction of what I actually know. So what I'm telling you is giving you information. But what I'm not saying gives me credibility with them.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean? And I might know that somebody was out to 4 or 5 in the morning and played bad. I might be with them.
You're the best.
You know what I'm saying? But I'm not going to say that as the game is happening. But I will say this for Montrezl Harrell. He recently lost his mom, and as somebody that's not necessarily looking forward to February 2nd this year, because that's going to be a year to when I lost my mom, I know some people that play with him. I follow him on social media, and I know some people that are really close to the Washington Wizards organization. I'll just say that. And like me, and like so very many, he's having a tough time with it.
Yeah.
And it. I'm not saying that what you're dealing with should excuse your behavior. You know what I mean? It shouldn't be, oh, Jalen didn't meet his father, so now he's going to go out here and rob a bank. You know what I mean?
Of course.
But he's really grappling with that, and he's taking it really hard. And you know what made all of that worse? The Lakers situation when he was getting DMPs. He didn't deserve that.
No.
So that made it – that doubled down on the pain that he was feeling. So you're the sixth man of the year with the Clippers.
You were one of the major, major sort of reasons for the Clippers' success that year until obviously they stumbled in the playoffs.
You and Lou Will were like so killing it off the bench. They were like first and second in scoring. Basically, their pick and roll was outstanding. But life happens. So you end up with the Lakers. And you're getting DMPs, and this happens.
Well, it's also expectations. When he was added to the Lakers, I was like, whoa, oh. Like he could be like exactly what they need. Like he could be like 35 minutes a game for them.
And KCP, former great Detroit Piston, and he and Montrezl Harrell got into, you know, a disagreement at halftime. But I'll now bring it back to surface because I just wanted to make sure I humanized Montrezl Harrell's feelings as a man, as a person, and I can relate to that pain. What happens when players disagree in the locker room is really simple. It's only one ball. Mm-hmm. And players are going to argue about two things the most. Not helping on D and a bad shot. And then the other thing, and this is what I hear their argument was about. What up, Nicholas Tutts? Not passing the ball. You saw me, dog. And you see the matchup that I have. And I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
I want to flip it on you.
Okay.
How many times have you been playing pickup and it's a smaller guy on you?
Mm-hmm.
And you ask for the ball.
Just aggressively ask for the ball. I don't just put a hand up.
How do you feel when they don't give it to you?
Well, a couple things. It's probably a bad example because sometimes I understand. Because I'm like, I'm 0 for 4 on jump hooks. You know what I mean? And they're like, well, we know where this is going to end up. So I'm probably a bad idea to flip this on me, especially at this point in my rec league career. But there was once upon a time where I'd be upset about that. And it wouldn't make sense because I was just 3 for 4 on jump hooks. And that was an easy bucket for us. That's kind of what we worked to get. Like, we worked to get this switch. It went the way we wanted. So why don't we just execute the plan? You know what I mean?
Every player feels better with the ball in their hands. Because that's what the casuals are watching. They're watching the ball. So you don't appreciate my cut unless I get a layup.
Mm-hmm.
You don't appreciate my screen.
Mm-mm.
Unless somebody make a shot. You don't appreciate my running the lane so somebody else can get a layup. But when I got the ball, I'm special. Everybody looking at me. Everybody wants what I have right now. You know what I mean? It's a level of power in that, I promise y'all. I promise y'all.
I love this.
What I have right now. This ball.
People trying to steal it from
my team, their team, the audience.
Yeah.
Everybody wants this ball. Right? This is $1 billion in my hand right now. And the other thing about the Wizards, they got up to a great start. They came back to the pack.
Yeah, they did.
They came back to the pack.
The Bulls didn't, but the Wizards did.
And that creates a frustration. But let me give you a positive Wizards thing before you go on to the next. I appreciate how Kyle Kuzma started to learn that you can affect the game without just scoring. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, i.e. rebound, you now work yourself into the game. There were so many times I used to watch him play. Remember, I've been watching him for a long time. And one of the things about his game is it was fueled when he scored. But it was pedestrian when he wasn't getting the ball. Now he realizes my effort and my rebounding can now fuel my offense.
Mm.
And so now that he's doing that, you see him making big threes because you're not putting so much pressure on yourself to be an offensive weapon. And so the Wizards, they're a fringe playoff team, play-in team, but the elephant in the room for that team is what happens with Bradley Beal.
We've been saying that for like a decade, though. Like him and Dame Lillard, every year it's like, well, are you going to stick with this or no?
But here's the difference between those situations. Dame going to shoot him into the playoffs. And Dame going to help him get to the Western Conference Finals. Bradley Beal ain't helping this team get to the playoffs just yet.
No.
Not since John Wall left. And that right there, now for a player who was first or second in the league in scoring, is a dynamic offensive weapon. To me, on paper, when I look at their roster, when I see Spencer and I see Kuz and I see Montrez and I see KCP, they should be better than they are.
And Beal, yeah.
So there should be frustration, and that's why they were arguing in the locker room.
Jalen, we don't have a lot of time for pod exclusive today, but there's something that we need to talk about that we haven't discussed yet, and I can't go backwards in time. We should have talked about it earlier. I haven't seen you like in the same room for quite some time, so we haven't really brought this up yet, but it's your birthday month.
It is.
It's your birthday month.
It is.
It's basically your birthday.
It is.
I know technically we're about 19 days away from your birthday, but it's basically your birthday. So happy birthday month to you.
Thank you.
And we need to really just open up the calendars and get some windows to properly celebrate.
So here's what I decided. I decided that my birthday month doesn't happen until I celebrate Martin Luther King Day. So from January 18th to February 18th is when I'll be celebrating my birthday.
And
let me tell you all the things that happened during that time.
Oh, okay. Well, I noticed you extended the window past Valentine's Day.
Correct.
Okay.
So I get my birthday.
Yep.
I get the Super Bowl.
Yep.
I get Valentine's Day.
Yep.
And during that period of time, there's going to be a couple of days off based on the fact that we're going to be going heavy on Super Bowl and NFL and stuff like that. So that's a perfect window to be my birthday month.
Oh, that's exciting. We have days off?
No days off for us.
I was about to say.
I
looked at the calendar.
No days off.
Monday through Friday.
And I just have to say this into the microphone because I want to make sure I don't take it for granted. Even with COVID, and by the grace of the man upstairs, I have to say this. I'm so very blessed. You're so very fortunate that we don't get sick.
No. Well, I got the cove. But outside of that, I didn't take a day off when I had the cove.
Correct.
Didn't miss a show. And correct. No, we do not get sick very much.
Correct. Like, I was texting Stephen A. Smith yesterday, and I realized something. He been gone like 3 weeks.
Yeah, man. I'm wishing the best of health from him.
You know what I mean? Like, it's serious out here.
And also, the energy in the seaport is different. You know what I mean?
You see what I'm saying?
Excited to have him back in the building. Excited to have him back on NBA Countdown. Excited to watch you on Countdown tonight.
Blessed.
And excited to spend.
I'm way up. I feel blessed.
Between January 18th and February 18th, celebrating your birthday. We'll be back tomorrow. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
I'm way up. I feel blessed. We're not done. We're not done. Take care of your family, your friends, and your loved ones, and secure your mask first. We are not done. Got to give the people.